This is Abnormal Entertainment.
Memory of my dearly departed brother from the show. Welcome back to another episode of Atomic Fallout Society. This is David Sabal, alongside with the Beard of Steel, Brian Smith.
Yo, what's up, bitches?
And, of course, the new Filipino and rookie, Chris Lalagan.
What's up, motherfuckers?
How's it going, guys? It's different now without Tony around.
You know, I'd be a lot better if I still didn't have to sit here with two Filipinos.
Well, no, that was a rule.
You'll never escape us.
When Tony decided to tell me that he was going to leave, dude, I told him, no, we need a Filipino.
I call shenanigans.
Sorry, it started with two Filipinos. It has to continue with two Filipinos.
I call shenanigans, bro. Can't we just have three white people?
No.
No. That'll never happen.
That'll never happen. Look, we had two white people one time in an episode way back when, and it didn't quite work out. Yeah.
You talking about
Jacob said from
Gorm
Nerd Hour.
The hidden special episode that we'll never see the light of day.
Oh, it's got to see the light
of
day
still
one
exist?
Day.
It does still exist. I still have that episode.
I kind of want to hear it.
No.
All right.
Because it'll be perfect evidence why there has to be two Filipinos on Atomic Fallout Society to work.
And I still think that's fucking bullshit. I still call bullshit.
Let's rename
on that.
It Atomic Filipino Society.
Oh, we thought about it. And that was the Beard of Steel, basically. I see that rage just building up.
There's no rage, buddy. It's not rage. It's hatred. Hatred for all things that aren't white. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Don't worry.
Hang out with Jacob. He's not white.
Don't worry. My blood transfusions that I'm secretly doing to you are probably going to make you Filipino soon enough.
Yeah, all I'm going to crave is fucking Filipinas.
Filipinas.
God, you know, sometimes
is this thing on? Is this thing on?
Hey, that was Jacob's.
Can we get into
mine.
The fucking show already? Who's
right.
doing
Let's
reviews? What
show.
Order are we going in?
Okay, we're going to start off with me. I'm bringing us Shaolin Cowboy number one from Dark Horse Comics as a really, really kickoff to 102 and a new day for Atomic Fallout Society. Shaolin Cowboy is brought to us by Jeff Darrow and Dave Stewart. Jeff Darrow is doing the story and the art, and Dave Stewart's doing the colors.
Boo! I don't know who those people are.
It's Dark Horse Comics.
So once again, don't know who those people are.
But hey, Dark Horse has turned out some really good projects in the past too. So, and as for this Shaolin Cowboy, this was actually kick ass. Especially the very beginning. When you read the very beginning and you go to the story so far, that was freaking hilarious. I mean, like, we had Brian earlier actually read it out loud. Oh, are we having any problems?
No, you guys are fine. Keep going.
Okay. We had Brian read a piece of the story so far for Shaolin Cowboy. And yeah, that was kind of messed up. What'd you say, Chris?
The greatest shit. I loved it, actually. I wish we would
it was definitely an interesting read.
With Fuma, Manchurimon, and them
No. Here, let's just go through the names here real quick. Back to that page. I'm going to read them in American. And
dude, that was awesome. Go for it.
Here's what you get. You have the brothers Youngmon, Hungmon, Lomon, Ugliman, Lacyman, Big Man, Funhe Man, Pizza Man, Just Be Cool Man, FedEx Man, UPS Man, Mail Man, X-Man, Spider-Man, Superman, Iron Man, Batman, No Woman, Gaya Man, straight man, lesbian man.
The sad part is
Reese
that,
man,
this is a typical Asian family.
TT man,
it is.
Leg man, hip man, ipso facto man, and hungry man.
He's my
favorite. Don't forget our cousins, slow fuck and puse.
Beautifully read. Thank you.
If you guys really dig like Hong Kong movies and just the silliness that is Hong Kong martial arts movies, then you will like this. We're having a little issue there.
That's fine. Continue.
But yeah, continuing on. Honestly, the art and the story really work out. I mean, in the very beginning, the thing that really caught my attention on this issue was the fact that the first 10 pages, there's no dialogue. No dialogue.
Beautiful.
Except for actually the Shaolin Cowboy himself uttering praise be to Buddha in Chinese, which is actually freaking awesome that they actually translated it. And the fact of the matter is, I was taken aback that you have this Shaolin Cowboy taking out zombies with a bow staff with chainsaws on both ends.
That seems normal. Yeah.
If it isn't, it should be.
It
right.
Should.
No, I want to see that every day. I mean, we are in East Mesa. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, I'm
Dude,
pretty
it
sure.
It does look like East Mesa, actually.
I think I've seen something like that, actually.
Art of Fire?
What?
You bring dishonor to your family.
We've
he
already gone
Malaysian.
Over this.
Yeah.
But you do much dishonor.
We've already discussed this. I know this already.
Your father so disappointed.
I'm so sorry, father.
Okay, so what do we got
overall,
here?
Overall, I definitely love the art in the book. I actually like the storytelling, even though there's barely any dialogue.
It's so detailed, just
because,
looking
like
at the splash page, actually.
The story is actually told through art, which is something that basically, you know, like, what was it? What was the Batman issue with Robin where it was no dialogue whatsoever?
Requiem.
Yeah,
Batman
18. This is
you mean,
similar
you mean
to that.
The issue that made me cry like a little bitch.
Yeah, but this
no,
this
it was Batman
no, it was Batman
basically
Batman
the art and the storytelling in this, instead of actually making you sad or depressed like how Requiem did, this actually was just like eye candy.
Yeah,
you know, like this basically just gave you like this. Oh my god, that is so awesome feeling. Like this really cool kick ass feeling.
It was Batman and
but
Robin.
But as far as the storyline,
it was Batman and Robin.
It was Batman,
Batman
and,
Robin.
And Robin.
It was Batman and Robin.
But again, this is a great example of how just telling a story through art and everything else works.
Yeah,
and so definitely from the get go, art gets a perfect 5. Gets a perfect 5.
Perfect 5.
And story-wise...
Did you say a perfect 5?
Yeah,
perfect five.
That's rare for me.
Is
five
he Asian?
Plus.
No.
And you gave him a perfect 5?
Yeah.
Okay, Tony.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, that's
wow,
true.
It was a Tony grade.
That's a
David
Tony
is
grade.
The new Tony. God damn it.
I told you, I am the voice of reason now.
No, you're just the voice of bad reviews.
Yeah. But,
well, I don't know about that.
Story-wise...
True, Chris hasn't gone yet.
That is true. Jeff Darrow's story-wise, I would give it a 5 also. So it's
a perfect comic book.
It's a perfect comic book for me. I read it. It's actually really entertaining. I definitely think that people should pick it up, especially
Shenanigans.
Number one. Why? Because it's Asian?
Because no.
Dude, it's Asian and cowboy.
It's actually David Carradine with a little bit of makeup.
Exactly.
So is there asphyxiation going on?
Maybe not yet. Later on down the line. Later.
The final issue
Shaolin Cowboy ends up in Thailand.
Wow. Wow. let's just go ahead and fucking just max out all the red on all of this, guys. Let's just fuck it. Fuck it. We're going live. We're doing it live, and I'm gonna work this soundboard like a rookie.
See,
awesome.
See what happens when actually the captain's gone.
Well, when the captain's gone, you guys actually hold the microphones up to your faces. It's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it?
I've never
oh,
seen
really?
Anything. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Oh my god, I haven't lifted this from my face once.
See, he's learning.
I know. It took him only
wow.
4 times being on the show.
It took me 50.
I'm getting
episodes.
Better now.
It took
I'm
you
learning.
Longer than that,
I'm
motherfucker.
That
it took
true.
Me going. David.
David. We didn't have
microphones. Yeah, you didn't have microphones.
What
right.
did you guys
did
use before?
We had a laptop.
The laptop mic?
Yeah. No, not even a laptop.
The
one.
First
really?
12 was the laptop mic. Then Tony got the USB mic.
Yeah, the USB mic
that records everything.
Recorded everything.
You know,
and it was
it looks
just
like
a speaker.
A camera and it's just a speaker.
Yeah, and that was it.
Yep.
Wow.
And I sat on his lap.
Mm-hmm. In his underwear.
In my underwear.
You done good.
Tony was dressed as Santa
this
Claus.
This is a step up. We actually have the microphones.
Christmas Krampus coming to kill you all.
But anyway, so that's my review. A perfect 5 for me for Shaolin Cowboy number 1.
Across the board. Awesome.
Let's go ahead and take it to the rookie, shall we?
Yeah,
because I want to save
Can we word
comic.
This differently? Can we word that differently? Just what? Take it to the rookie? I mean, that just...
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, wait,
that's,
no, here we go. No, no,
purpose.
No, no. No, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Hey, rookie, I'm going to give you this slot really hard. Go.
Jesus. I'm bringing you 2 reviews, everyone. I'm bringing you...
Actually, hold on. You're going to bring us 1 review. The second half of the show, if you would have read your show notes, you would know.
I don't have any show notes.
David.
Where are those pieces of
what
paper?
What did he do with his show notes?
I don't know.
We gave him show notes.
Rookie.
You gave me nothing.
We gave you show notes, bro. Rookie.
I showed up.
What? Oh, wrong end. You're right. I should have shoved him up his ass. Then he would have known. Anyway, go ahead and give us your review on the new comic.
All right.
And then you can give us your review on the second half of
the
show.
I hate you guys.
On the hazing.
He just
comic.
wants to get that penis out of his mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not a dick.
It's a microphone because I have to keep it up to my face.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
But take it away, Chris.
I'm waiting.
Anyway.
Where is this review?
I hate you. I am going to review Rocket Girl from Image Comics by Brandon Montclair and Amy Reeder.
What else does Amy Reeder bring us?
I don't know.
What about Brandon Montclair?
I have no idea.
Fucking rookie.
I don't know. I don't know who either of these people are. But just based on what I see on the cover anyway, Amy Reeder's art, very crisp, very clean. It's pretty. Do I really sound like that?
Oh, it's
no, pretty.
No, no.
It is pretty. It's beautiful.
I want to come on the art's face.
Oh, my God. I'm
going
to get this whole time.
Hang in there.
Jesus,
yep,
I'm
pretty
trying.
Much.
Talk
I'm
over
really
it, bro.
Trying.
Let's
it's
go.
It's 102.
Anyway.
Let's go.
As far as the body of the comic.
Oh, my God. It looks like he came on her face at the beginning of the
There's
comic.
No cum on the face. These are light streaks. Anyway, there's this character
Oh, is
called.
It light, is it lens flare?
It is.
Is it lens flare?
It almost is lens flare, yes. No, it's just a reflection.
Of course, you
lens.
Review the comic with lens flare.
I'm sorry. I had to pick it.
Fucking
anyway, the
rookie.
Story felt... No, no, it is not.
I love how you keep talking
as
to
Jacob,
the guy who's
Jacob
not
said,
on mic. Ignore the man behind
nah,
the
right
curtain.
Here.
Jesus
but
Christ.
As Jacob voted, it's not done by... oh my God, I forgot. Just... J.J. Abrams.
This comic is about a cop from the future. She's 15 years old. She travels to 1986 and meets up with a bunch of scientists.
Does she meet the Terminator?
No. She's been messing with these scientists who've been messing
with
Does
she meet Michael J. Fox?
No. But there are references to Back to the Future in this. Anyway, she shows up in the future, blah, 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 stops a crime from happening, drives off with the scientist. There. That's my review.
scale of 1 to 5.
I'm going to go ahead and scale the storyline because, you know what, it was a pretty good issue. As far as the storyline is concerned, it's a good beginning.
But does it actually rank well for Image number 1, though?
For an Image number 1, I'm actually going to give it a 3.5 because it is the beginning. It didn't quite grab me initially. I had to wait till the very end, you know, to you know.
It didn't grab you till the end?
It didn't grab me until the end.
We're going to grab you the whole way.
Oh, God.
Now, do you guys, here's a question for actually both of you. Do you guys think that Image number 1s are kind of being overvalued or overestimated?
Not anymore, no.
No.
I think that it's settled down quite a bit, and Image has been responding with a higher print run for their last couple of number 1s, uh-huh. And you haven't seen this huge spike on price
okay.
from their number 1s.
Yeah,
because that's what I noticed.
Is
like,
now that we're completely off topic, the review, 1
yes.
to 5 on the art.
3.5 for the art.
And the writing.
3.5.
So 3.5 across the board.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that was the shortest review in Atomic Fallout history.
I'm sorry.
Congratulations.
Good job, Nozzle.
What?
Good, you know what? He's no longer the rookie. He has upgraded to
what?
Nozzle.
Nozzle?
Nozzle.
Nozzle.
That's an upgrade?
For you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's upgrade
like
with
that
2
smile.
D's. Upgrade with 2 D's.
And a Y, as Jacob put it.
And here's another Y. Superman and Wonder
right.
Woman number 1. Charles Soule is writing it. Good job, DC. You picked a good writer. Tony S. Daniel, is the artist. Good job, DC. You picked a decent artist. And so it begins and away we are going.
Oh, my God.
There's your nod to Tony. So it starts off with Wonder Woman and Superman, and they're about to kiss, and then some shit goes down. And
a
then
very epic tale.
Something else happens, and Superman sees something under the sea, and it's not the Little Mermaid.
Hey,
and
with Tony gone, can we actually do spoilers or no?
No, we're not doing spoilers. Tony was okay. The only one that ever fucking spoiled anything.
Oh, my God, you're right, but he would always call it out, remember?
Oh, that's right, and Chris
no,
spoiled
then,
last
then I
week.
Spoiled.
But that was because Tony spoiled first.
No, but remember Tony would always say that, oh, no spoilers.
Well, yeah, Tony would always tell us no spoilers, and then he'd do his review, and he's like, so this is exactly what happened, pages 1 through 22. The end.
I can't do that.
That's what Tony would do. But anyway, you get a surprise villain,
who
I guess.
Who is it?
At the end.
I'm going to force the spoiler.
Of the issue.
Yeah.
It was the end of the issue, though.
Jacob's right.
Like,
it was four pages.
That's fine, but it was still the end of the issue, which is what I said. I didn't say at the end. I said, well, yeah, I did. It was at the end. It was at the fucking end. And then you get like this little mini fight.
The fucking end.
You get this mini fight, and then you see blood all over Wonder Woman's face because Superman wasn't there to
is that
come
blood?
On
it was pink.
I guess. It was pink, bro, because she's Amazonian. And so she's got like
so
celestial. She's got celestial blood, bro, because she's half god.
Oh, that's weird.
So it's like this whitish, pinkish, cum blood.
Ew.
Because the gods can get you pregnant by bleeding on you.
Oh, that's true.
It's happened more than once
in DC universe.
Yeah, in all the universes, because the gods are gross and detestable creatures. But anyway, so Superman, Wonder Woman, number one, the art. It's Tony Daniel. You know what you're getting. It's a 3.5. It's above average, but it's nothing spectacular. There were no particular panels that I felt popped out to me. There was nothing in the issue that I was really like.
Not even that last one?
Not even the last one.
Nope. Nothing in the issue that really grabbed my attention or grabbed my eye. It was just a bunch more of the Superman, Wonder Woman, quote-unquote, problems with their relationship, which there are none. It's all just fabricated bullshit. And essentially, if I had a girlfriend that bitched at me as much as Wonder Woman did, and I was Superman, well... Heat vision is a thing.
I have to ask you a question, Brian.
Yeah.
When the surprise visitor shows up, I have to know, what did you think of like the little back and forth where you would see the little flashbacks in between, like in the panels,
yeah,
where it was still the love story of
Superman and Wonder Woman talking
at the same time?
Because you are the big, big Superman buff, especially for the story that pertains to that villain.
Did you miss that? Are you rereading? There we go.
Oh, you mean the words?
Yes.
The words that they had printed. I didn't read them. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't read it. I don't give a shit. The Superman Wonder Woman storyline to me is fucking pointless. I think it's pandering. I think it's disgusting. I think it's something that never needed to happen.
So
I understand that. Hold on. For years, fanboys have been saying, you know, the only person on the face of the earth that could carry Superman's baby to term would be Wonder Woman, because not only is she Amazonian, but now she's half god. And and so she's the only one that would have a womb strong enough to support a Kryptonian baby. Like, people have been saying that for years. So this is essentially lip service to all of those fucks that have been out there since Mallrats. And here's the other thing. No. The answer is no. The answer is no. I don't care. I don't want to see a Superman baby. I have never wanted to see a Superman baby. So by putting them in a relationship together, you open up the universe to have a Superman baby. And we know that there is a Superman baby because of what Connor is in the current universe, Superboy.
That is true.
We know that there is a Superman baby at some point. We know this. Fuck you. Okay? It's no. No. I don't need to see a baby push a piano across a fucking boat. Okay? I don't need to see that.
I like that scene.
If he had laser beams, wow.
He pushed the piano to save his mom. It was cute.
How did his mother carry Superman's baby?
I don't know. A lot of trouble. I'm assuming so.
How did Superman come inside of her without blowing out her back?
Well, now, if we're going off of part two, Superman 2, he was human when they had sex.
So wouldn't then the baby by default be completely human?
He would.
Okay.
But he's still got some residual Kryptonian DNA in there.
That's true.
Took him 5 years to grow accustomed to our atmosphere. Yes, he was sickly, you know, he had some issues or whatever when he was younger, but now he was five and he was growing up and he was getting used to the sunlight and everything. And like his, you know, powers were just beginning to, you know, manifest. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob. Manifest. It was beautiful. And he picked that moment. And then he was freaked out afterwards. I mean, it was beautiful. Hello?
I'm waiting to actually see what the Beard of Steel will do. I think he's...
Hey, first and foremost, how did Superman become human? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. Okay. Yeah. He used his Kryptonian daddy.
Right.
You know, to encase him in that whatever the hell you want to call it.
The birthing matrix.
The birthing matrix. And take away his powers.
Right. So he took away his powers, right?
Right, took away his powers.
So you take away the powers, but how the fuck does that change his DNA to human?
I don't know.
Right. How many chromosomes does a Kryptonian have?
I don't know.
Right. 96? Sure. Fuck it. We'll go with that. I can pull any number out of my ass and I'd be right. It's like there's only 12 doctors.
So he has like super downs?
That is true.
Okay. So, yeah, it's super downs.
Oh my
God. Anyway.
Simple Jack is
he has
Superman.
Extra chromosomes. Yeah.
Okay,
everyone.
So I'm just saying, if Superman and Wonder Woman were to mate, and even if Superman was quote unquote depowered, not human, at the time, the sheer biological nature of it is essentially it's interspecies erotica.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sexy.
Can a dog make a human pregnant?
No.
Okay. Can a horse?
No.
A goat?
I see your point.
A chimpanzee, even. We'll go closer. Could a chimpanzee make a human pregnant?
No.
How about an ape?
No.
A gorilla?
No.
A panda bear?
No.
Okay, so how the fuck would a Kryptonian do it?
That's true.
I'm just saying. It's on a basic, fundamental, biological level, which they knew about when that movie was made.
Yeah.
You suspended disbelief, right? So then, 10 years later, they come out with the sequel to that movie, and they give us a super child. Fuck you, okay? Fuck you, because it's impossible. It is physically impossible for that to happen. Same thing with Wonder Woman. But you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And this book perpetuates that, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
That they're going to have
the
a super
that I had
Wonder
for
Baby.
You, for you also, if this was Lois Lane, would you still have a problem with it?
I would not have a problem with the love story between Superman and Lois Lane, because that is what has always been
in the
Superman universe. I mean, not always,
agreed.
Of course. It took years for that to develop.
Right.
But hell, we had a wedding issue, for fuck's sake. Superman and Lois have always been the couple.
Yeah.
They are the couple of the DC universe. Kind of like... Spider-Man and Mary Jane was the couple for years. Well, Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy, then Spider-Man and Mary Jane. That was the couple. And then you had Cyclops and
Jean Grey.
And Jean Grey as that couple. And now, of course, Cyclops has fucked every woman in the Marvel universe. And, you know, but either way, like, that was always the couple. Like, Batman never really had...
Catwoman.
He had Catwoman, but they were never really a couple.
Nah,
they
didn't.
Right?
Not till recent times.
Right. Even, what was her name? Cat Grant. Was there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, though, like, it was never a serious thing. It wasn't Superman and Lois Lane, man. And maybe I'm a purist, and that's the fucking problem here.
Well, Batman
well that's
can't
what
be
I'm
happy.
Trying to figure out, though.
That's right. Like, Batman can't be happy, because if Batman's happy, the Joker fucking kills everything he loves.
Yeah.
Right.
Batman can't be happy. Superman can't be happy either. He has to be torn between his alien heritage and his worldly heritage. And now you throw in this bitch, who's neither alien
nor of this world.
And so now there's a third thing that he's supposed to be loyal to, and it has a pair of tits and a vagina. We're fucked. Humans lose.
Period. And that's why I was trying to. That's why I always wanted to know, because ever since they actually did the whole Superman Wonder Woman thing, there's always been that split between Superman fans about like, oh, it should be Superman Lois Lane.
No, and I don't
it
care.
Should be, oh, it's okay.
I'm fine that it's not Superman and Lois Lane. I'm fine with that. I get it. That's fine. That's been done to death.
Yes.
Like, literally been done to death. He fucking died. She killed him. She killed him.
Yeah.
Doomsday didn't kill him. Her constant nagging killed him. He allowed himself to die.
You have to fight this.
No, actually, it's an interesting thought, though, if you think about it. Like, Superman died because he thought he was so human. he thought he was so human because he had spent so much time with humans. He was spending so much time with humans because he was in love with a human.
Yes.
Right? So Superman died because he thought he was human. He thought he was human because he was spending so much time with Lois Lane. Right? So Lois Lane killed Superman. Fuck that bitch. Anyway.
I can actually, as funny as it sounds, see your logic there.
It's logic, right? It's A, B, C, D, E, F, Q. It makes perfect
sense. Because, like, I remember the Death of Superman issue, and throughout the entire thing, he kept questioning, how can I keep going?
Right, and he wouldn't question that if he had never been with Lois Lane, if he had never adapted so well to being Clark Kent, which in the new universe, he hasn't really adapted well to being Clark. And part of that is because Wonder Woman is constantly nagging him to show off his powers to the world because the Amazonian goddesses or whatever are fucking proud cunts and they want Superman to be the same thing.
That's true.
I want to be a proud cunt one day.
Where did that come from?
I'm sorry, just proud cunt.
I'm just saying. So anyway, on the issue though, Charles Soule's writing's actually pretty good. He gets a 3.5 on that as well. So the issue does get a 3.5 from me. I don't like the subject matter on a personal level.
Yeah.
But as a critic, it's a decent issue. It's not stupendous. I like the villain that they chose. He is my favorite villain in the DC universe. I don't understand the claw hand thing that they've got going on with him. He's where he looks like...
Too much Resident Evil.
Well, he looks like Max. And
he looks like the Max.
And I'm not necessarily okay with that, but it is what it is, and I will most likely continue to read this book regardless of how much I hate it because it has Superman in the title.
Gee, I wonder who that villain is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because I've never talked about it on the show before. Ever. ever.
Yeah, and that's our bullshit alarm just going right off scale.
Ever. So anyways, guys, like I said, it's a 3.5 on that issue. I know Chris has... His special issue to review.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, you got to.
It doesn't matter what you want, Chris.
Oh,
because remember, Nozzle, you're our bitch now.
Yeah, this when was I orders say jump, from Brian.
You say yes, sir. How high, massa? Yes, sir.
Do I have to say it like that?
Jump.
How high?
No, jump.
Yes, he literally wants you to jump.
How high?
No. I mean, seriously,
massa.
Jump.
Like, no, I don't want to.
Get out of your chair and jump. Oh, my God, he did it. Okay, anyway, read the, what do you got for us, boss?
What I have for you guys is an older comic, 2012, October 2012, Howard Chaykin gave us Black Kiss.
This is for you, Cody.
Black Kiss. Now, I didn't read this book initially when it came out, obviously. I have no idea what's really going on. I'm starting in the middle, essentially, with this one, because this is issue number 3 of 6.
Doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter because dicks, because penises, because hermaphrodites, because dude dressed like a cow horse and other guy dressed like a Native American are pounding away at, like, I don't care what this story is about.
And
the sheer images that this book is showing me, what Howard Chaykin is showing me throughout this entire book is that fuck story.
And now do you see what's been burned into my brain because of this?
You bought all 6 issues. I can't understand how you even read through all 6 issues.
It was because it was an order from the other Atomic Fallout people, like Brian and Tony and Cody.
I can't understand this. Like, as far as an issue is concerned, as far as a rating, if you want me to give it a grade, I'm going to give it a grade. My God, it's going to get one. I'm going to give this... The writing is going to get a 2. It's not really going anywhere for me. I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but it is Howard Chaykin. You know, I'm going to give it to this guy. Like, he's got a point somewhere in this storyline. Somewhere.
And you know what?
I want 4 more minutes of review.
No, that's fine. I'm going to give you four more minutes of review. I am going to give this a 2, just based on the storyline. As far as the art is concerned, I'm also going to give it a 2. It's rough. There was a couple things that I just didn't understand about where he was going with it. And I'm not
it's
just talking
really
about
rough.
Dicks, penises, hermaphrodites, horsemen, black dudes.
Well, consider yourself lucky. I mean, you weren't in the you didn't get the issue that had the donkey scene in it.
No, I did not get the issue with the donkey scene.
You weren't scarred by that.
No. But what I did get was a glass catheter.
Yeah.
In a hermaphrodite's penis. I was stunned. Like, I stopped on that page and I had to look away. Like,
wait,
I was
hold
disturbed.
Hold on.
Yes.
Chaykin was there last Friday? David, you promised me no one would see that video.
Sorry.
Jesus, did that hurt? Who was the receiver?
I was just filming it.
Brian, are you okay?
Oh, I didn't do it.
Oh. What the hell was going on here? What did I miss last Friday?
He doesn't know about dude. You don't remember the roofies either.
He doesn't remember the hazing part two, does he?
He doesn't remember hazing part two.
That's where I went. Yeah. That's why I slept for 12 hours.
Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. You mentioned something that I actually want. What's always interesting to me. You gave it a grade because it's Howard Chaykin.
Yes.
And I would like to actually get the Beard of Steel's input on this, because I've always wondered, why do we give so much leeway to a person who has a name?
Because you know, because you know they're better than what sometimes they end up giving us.
Do we? I mean, do we really?
Not, it's not that, man.
Yeah, Jacob said it perfect. Alan Moore freaking sucks.
Well, and here's the thing. We have said numerous times that Alan Moore sucks now. With there are certain writers where you expect a certain level of fucked upness in their writing. I think about, what's his name? All the Rape.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, Mark Millar. All the Rape. Okay. There's the other guy, too.
Rapins. They're just falling out of trees.
He was on the show. Remember, he put a book up my ass.
Oh,
Alan Moore.
Thank you. Who we talked about. Alan Moore. Almost every one of his stories has a rape in it.
Yeah, at least
almost
once.
Every single story has rape or some kind of fucked up sexual thing.
Did I miss something? Which storylines actually had rape in them?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, Watchmen.
Yeah, Watchmen had rape in it.
Yeah, there's V for Vendetta was like weird sexual sadism. And
yeah, but those stories are great, aren't they?
They are. They're good stories, but there's that weird element to them. Chaykin takes it to the next level.
Doesn't he, though?
You know, and he actually draws the rape.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a lot of them, it's only alluded to, aside from Kick-Ass, where Mark Millar decided to show us the rape of, what, a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prick.
not going to touch on that.
I'm saying is, no, I mean, I think that when it comes to certain writers, we do give them leeway. People did it for years with Stan Lee. Stan Lee hasn't been able to write a decent comic book in 20 years.
No, he has.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years since we got a decent comic book out of Stan Lee. You guys remember
maybe
the DC
more.
Bullshit that he did and then all the crap that he did? I don't even remember who that small press was that was doing.
Boom.
Boom. He was doing like Stan Lee's hyperbole or Stan Lee's onomatopoeia. Like, no, I know
that's
that
Kevin
was Kevin Smith.
Smith.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, they were awful, awful, awful storylines. Kevin Smith is another one.
Well, I mean,
we give a ton of leeway, too, for what he writes. It's all wordy as fuck and nothing happens. It's just like his movies. Green Arrow, his run
was
good.
Jacob brought that up.
And
Daredevil
was okay. But then you look at, like, the Black Cat thing that I don't think he even ever finished.
No.
Oh, he did finish that one? Bullseye, he only did one issue, right? Yeah. And that one actually was decent. I liked that first issue. Yeah, I liked his Widening Geyer stuff, too. But at the same time, I think he gets a lot more credit than he deserves because he's Kevin Smith. It's the same thing happens in all forms of entertainment. You know, look at Kate Moss. She still gets work. She looks like a crack addict. Wait, she
is a crack addict.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if you look at any form of entertainment, you always give leeway. Like, Tom Cruise lost his fucking mind for 5 years. Still gets work.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Costner won an Academy Award, and then we got Waterworld, which I secretly love. But anyway,
I thought Waterworld was great.
But yeah, so
going on that.
It's
okay.
Not really a secret,
Chris. If this was not Howard Chaykin, if you didn't know this was Howard Chaykin,
if this wasn't Howard Chaykin,
what would you give?
I'd still give it a 1.5.
But
so
it's still lower though.
It's still lower. It's like a half grade lower, but it's only because I know that he's got a lot better in him. Okay. And maybe he does have a point to Black Kiss. But unfortunately, I just wasn't really seeing it diving halfway into the story. Like, I mean,
You're halfway done and you don't know the point? Come on, bro.
I really don't know the point.
Is this like a Marvel Secret Wars situation?
No, absolutely not.
I'll,
like,
I'll be honest.
It's broken out in snippets. Like, I mean, you have different chapters that are dedicated to different times, I guess, and, you know, these characters' lives. Like,
and
I get that.
And guess what? All six issues, it's like that. There is no
Well, because you read the whole thing.
I read the whole thing.
Right, because you actually masturbated to a lot of the hermaphrodite scenes.
Oh, God.
Should I be touching this? It scarred me so
badly. Oh, did
that
one come from David?
No.
Yes.
Did? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, hey, God. You can turn the pages, bro. It didn't come from
Dave.
Where's
my black light?
Where's my black light?
I need to find my black light.
Yo, it's not scorpions, bitch.
You know, like.
You can find cum with scorpions. Yeah.
I'm aware. I was.
You can find cum
and
scorpions.
It was a John Layman joke, you fucks.
But that.
Oh.
Layman versus scorpions. Layman's winning. Follow him on Twitter. It's funny as shit. He's one of the funniest writers out there, dude. Seriously, I love his shit.
And that's the thing.
Hey, Doritos.
Like, when it comes to a name, why does a name always have to give... It's okay because it's so-and-so. If it's crap, it's crap.
No, right? I'll agree with you on that. If it's crap, it's crap. And that's how I've always graded my comics. Now, I will always put that disclaimer. If it's a Superman book, it's going to get a higher grade than what it would normally get. But if it's not a Superman book, I will slay the fuck out of a comic book if I need to. I don't give a shit who wrote it. I don't care if it's Romita. I don't care if it's fucking or drawing it. I don't give a fuck. I honestly think that a lot of times if it's somebody who's a big name and has been around for a long time, I'm harsher if it's crap because they phone it in. Jim Lee's been doing it for years, phoning in his art.
Yeah.
I saw the new poster that we got for Injustice with Jim Lee's art on it, and I'm just like, wow, look at all the lines. Good job, dude.
Yeah, it looks rough.
Yeah, it looks like what Liefeld
like what Liefeld would do.
And he's been phoning it in since day one. So, no feet. Not the feet. Not the feet.
Not the feet. Not or the feet. Eyes.
Oh, no, there's no feet.
You got to remember. Chat. Not the chat.
And they're always 8 feet above ground.
Yeah, and you got to remember.
Yeah, because everyone flies.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Yeah.
And you got to remember Youngblood's like disease with no eyes.
Forced perspective. Yeah.
But
chest.
Yeah, so with that said, now we touched Black Kiss, but the one thing
I don't want to touch Black Kiss.
So okay, essentially what David wanted us to do this week was kind of have a conversation about sex and comic books.
Yeah,
and just kind of open it up, and you know, I'm for sex in comic books personally. If it has something to do with the storyline.
No,
I think gratuitous sex in a comic book is the same as gratuitous sex in a movie or on TV. Why? I don't need it. I'm not French. I don't need it.
Now,
I'm over it.
Here's the thing. Now, you covered a Superman Wonder Woman book, right?
There was no sex in that book.
But if there was, would it matter?
I would stop reading it. I'll be honest with you. If they put, and I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like there are certain things that just don't belong in comic books. Wasting a panel on two characters lying on top of each other grunting? No, I don't need that.
And the reason why I bring that up is because, remember, in prior 52, we had the Batman Catwoman scene.
Right.
Everybody freaked out about it.
It was like, oh my God, he had sex with Catwoman. Dude, he's been having sex with Catwoman for 50 years. Come on. She shows up in a leather suit and a mask.
Who wouldn't have had sex with Catwoman?
I'd hit that like twice before I took off her clothes. Like, are you kidding me? But no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not a prude, but I feel like it's a waste, especially with comics getting shorter and shorter and shorter, less and less pages. Please don't put panels of fucking in my comic book unless somehow it is important to the storyline.
We are going to save the universe
by fucking.
Now,
exactly.
Now,
like, then, okay, fine. Show them doing all sorts of, but like, okay, like one that I would say.
Epic fucking.
One movie where I actually felt like the sex wasn't done gratuitously was Crank.
With
Jason Statham.
Yeah, dude, I didn't feel like that was gratuitous. I felt like, oh, that's how he's getting his heart rate up. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
He had to get his heart rate up.
Was that Amy Adams?
No. It wasn't Amy Adams.
But Amy something. Amy Smart.
Amy Smart, yeah. Smart. But no, like, and then they had like the whole news crew talking about it and everything else. And so it was actually not just that one scene. It was throughout the entire movie. And they were trying to identify the dude, and all the Asians started clapping. Like, to me, that actually made sense in the movie.
Would.
Now, necessarily, did they need to show as much of the sex as they showed? Probably not.
Now,
I know, but there was still a good 5 to 6 seconds of him railing her from behind. And
awesome.
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because I felt like it was actually story, not necessarily important, but story relevant. Whereas a lot of times when you look at it, they're just throwing in, like, nipple shots and, you know, like, it's dumb. Like, you close the bedroom door, I know what you're doing in there, okay? Y'all are fucking, and that's cool. Go at it your carnal ways. I don't give a shit, but I don't need to see it. And anymore with comic books, the kiss is now the sex.
The sex.
You know, look at the stink that was made about the gay kiss in X-Men. Or the kiss between Superman and Wonder Woman. I mean, for fuck's sake, we're getting a statue of the Superman-Wonder Woman kiss.
We are?
Yeah, dude, it's on the bathroom door.
Now, what about comic book-wise? You reviewed a comic just, I think, last week, Sex Criminals.
I didn't review Sex Criminals.
Who was
Your brother did Sex Criminals.
Oh, yeah, so Tony did Sex Criminals.
The other Phillips.
I don't review comics with sex in the title.
Now, Sex Criminals, that had...
Sex Criminals, that sex is technically story relevant and story important because the way that they use their superpowers is through sex. So it's story relevant. Other stuff is going on around in the periphery as they're fucking. So
genius move.
It is. It makes sense to then have sex in the book.
So that's a good... That's
not good, but it's okay. It's relevant. It's not a huge deal. But I've always felt like comics were kind of like the virgin brother to television. You know? Like...
Yeah.
I mean, yes, of course, there have always been porno comic books, the Tijuana Bibles and everything else that existed back in at the turn of the century and everything else. But, you know, if you look at comics, they've always been cleaner. You know, movies have always been the dirty. Movies and HBO and Skinemax. That's the dirty. That's the stuff that you went and saw when you were like 15, 16 years old and cranked it silently in your room. You know, that's what you did. Then you had comic books that had like that sex appeal and the sexy main character that with a little bit of imagination, you could crank it to in your room. And TV, of course, then they showed Dennis Franz's butt. And it's just been downhill from there. It's gotten more and more sexy on TV.
Dennis Franz.
Do you guys think that it's going downhill now on comics? Because
here's the thing. Saga showed a bunch of dudes blowing on another dude.
Oh, they showed more than that.
I know, but that was the scene that got all the attention.
True.
Was the dudes jerking off on another dude's face.
Yeah,
And here's my thing with that. Image Comics is still a tiny publisher. I don't give a fuck. You guys can say the big three. Fuck you. Okay? DC and Marvel control 80%, at least, probably closer to 87% of sales. So Image Comics and their 5 to 8%, they don't count as part of the big two. It's bullshit. They're number one. They're the big fish in a small pond.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's all it is. You've got two people in the lake, and then you got the small pond over here that has a big fish. That's all it is. And so do I think that they're getting dirtier? No, I don't. I think that there are certain publishers that allow more than other publishers do. I think Image has started to allow more than what they used to, but that's to attract the talent. That's to attract those guys that have worked for the big two but couldn't tell the stories they wanted to tell because the big two wouldn't let them. Now, of course, DC with their Vertigo line has had some fairly sexy moments. You know, American Virgin had them.
Oh, yeah.
Preacher
Virgin.
Had some shit in
right.
it. Why the Last Man had some stuff in it that was fairly risque.
But it made sense in Why the Last Man.
It did. It did. And that's what I mean. Like, it still made sense, though. Like, even in American Virgin especially, the stuff that they showed made sense. In Preacher, the stuff they showed made sense. It didn't feel gratuitous. Whereas when you look at stuff like Zenoscope, which is overtly sexual and is over the top and is one of the small fish in the small pond, their stuff is over the top, but it has its audience. And obviously that audience is not that large, or else they would be selling more fucking books. And so when you ask if they're starting to shift that way, I don't think so, because they don't have to. Television and movies has had to shift that way because everybody was doing it. Absolutely everybody was doing it. You know, ABC, CBS, NBC, they all started showing more and more and more. And, of course, on AMC, they've showed more and more and more. HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, more and more and more get shown. And same thing with movies. The rated R rating nowadays would have been NC-17 back
or
in the
X.
80s.
Or
the X rating was abolished and NC-17 replaced it. The triple X rating
is the one that
rating.
The mainstay.
Oh. Yeah.
Because X rating was essentially supposed to be NC-17. The problem with that is that the X rating, everybody just was like porn because of Deep Throat, I think, was the movie that was the first one that was released in theaters that was rated X, and that fucked it up for everything else.
Oh, and Debbie Does Dallas, I think.
Well, I don't think Debbie Does Dallas was released in mainstream theaters.
Yeah, was it?
That one was rated X as well,
right?
Debbie Does
Dallas gang released.
But originally, X was not intended to be pornographic. That was not the intent for the X rating. Nor the NC-17 rating. and it still wound up that way because of the movies that they chose to first roll out that rating with. So, which one was it? That's right, Henry and June. Was
so what, do you, what about you, June, Chris? What's Jacob. Your stance in, like, if you read Sex and Comics?
If I read Sex and Comics, I'm almost the same way as far as what Brian is saying, because I don't need it in my mainstream comics. I don't need to see Batman and Catwoman fucking. I already know that it's happening. I don't need to see Superman and Wonder Woman fucking, because I already know that, unfortunately, it is happening. You know, it happens between characters. It happens between humans. We do it. Get over it. Like, who cares? Like, you don't have to show it, you know? But, I mean, if it does serve the story, why not? You know? It doesn't hurt.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is why do a lot of, like, story writers nowadays need the feel to do shock value?
Because it's sexy.
Yeah, and it just, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, Brian reviewed Superman Wonder Woman, which, you know, down the line, it's going to be crossing that barrier. You just have that gut feeling.
If sales drop, like Jacob just said, as he yelled out at me so I could hear him through the headphones, if sales drop on the comic, yes, they will turn it up a notch.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that is where they will go with it. And I think that that's a mistake. I really do. Yeah. I understand that sex sells. Like, that's the thing that sells now, is sex. Sex is hugely important. It's ridiculously, we're inundated with it all the time. You know, that's all we ever see. You look at any commercial, almost, you look at any music, it's all sex, 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 you know?
And violence.
It's like, I'm going to skeet on a bitch. Like, come on. Like, give me a break, guys.
Or how about all those, like, sex positions they were talking in Sex Criminals?
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you know, what was it that I was watching? Oh, I was watching The New Girl.
Sexy.
The other day. And they went through and named off a bunch of sex positions in one of the episodes.
Made up a couple.
They made up a lot. But they all seemed feasible. Oh, good God.
Yeah,
but anyway,
and
the triple on top, muffin down.
Yeah, but anyway, like, you know, so I mean, it's one of those things that even in a show like The New Girl, which is actually pretty chaste as a show, I mean, yes, it has the hot model and, like, people are hooking up, but they don't really ever go into detail as to what happened. And there's actually some really sweet moments in that where it's like, if you tell anyone that, you know, we held hands, I've got two people on my phone that will kill you. Like, you know, there's scenes in that. And it's the same thing with comic books, is that, you know, yes, it has kind of crossed over and gone a little bit sexier. And especially with the new 52, they rolled out a little bit more sexy.
Yeah.
And some of the character costumes are just like, whoa, in Star Sapphire, whoa.
Whoa.
And then, of course, in Marvel, hell, Marvel does incest, for God's sakes. And they've been doing it for years. Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, right?
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that one.
Yeah, they've had incest in their comic books for years now.
But that was in the Ultimates, though. I mean, in the main part?
It doesn't matter. It's still there. It's still there, and it's still from the big two. And, dude, it's Scarlet Witch. Are you telling me if you were her brother, you wouldn't fuck her? Don't make that face.
Yeah, Chris is like...
It is weird. It is weird. I mean, I fucked your sister, so...
No, you haven't.
No, it's true. I'm just
Hey, Chris, remember...
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. Jacob
oh,
threw
God,
out the
Luke and Leia.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Did they ever cross that line? You never really saw what happened.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's one of those things that's happened forever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always been kind of on the surface of comic books, because comic books, the female characters have always been, quote-unquote, sexy. It's been this idealistic view of what a woman should look like. Tiny waist, huge tits, superpower, but default to the man every time.
Oh, and a fantastic ass.
Yes, always the fantastic ass.
Covered in stars. It's glorious. I'm sorry. I'm fine. Continue.
Wow. Okay. That was odd.
And
that was
basically
odd.
So what do you guys think that basically, like, with, like, how Gail Simone writes for female, like, Batwoman?
So like, what? Gail Simone?
Like Gail Simone and Batwoman. I mean, everyone constantly harps that basically, oh, that's the way that females should be pictured now, and that's good storytelling for a female character.
You
Is
know,
it?
Everybody has their own idea of what's good storytelling, and whether it's a female character or a male character, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If the story's good, it's good. I don't know what makes a good storytelling for a female character, because truth be told, I don't read a lot of good characters. I think the last time I really felt like there was a great writer on a female character was when Sterling Gates and Jamal Igle were on Supergirl. The last, what was that, series, volume 4.
Oh, yeah,
Supergirl.
That was actually really
That was
good.
An amazing run where they took her out of that I'm a hoe Well, they took her out of being a hoe, turned her into a character you could actually that everyone could relate to, not just females,
yeah.
but males as well could relate to. And Jamal Igle can actually draw a woman to look like a woman and not, you know, a stick figure with giant boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they take them off of the book and turn her back into a hoe, you know? And how's that song go, Never Trust a Hoe? Is that it? Sometimes I wish we had sound drops. Wow, Jacob just said niggas. Yes. Okay. Oh, bitches, my
bitches
fault.
Bitches ain't shit, yeah. but hoes
Remember,
and
you shut down the show if the N-word
that's,
gets daughter.
That's right. That's right. And don't forget, guys, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Granted, can you turn a Kryptonian into a housewife? So if it's a Kryptonian hoe, do two negatives make a positive? So a Kryptonian hoe, you could turn into a housewife. If you're a Kryptonian
wow,
as well.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, no, sex in comics is one of those things, guys. It's not going anywhere. And if anything, it will ramp up. We've seen it with television. We've seen it with movies. We've seen it in music. Thank you, big booty bitches. And
yeah.
And apparently Miley Cyrus, which is
no,
really
fuck
that's
that
not a big booty bitch.
Right, no, let's not even talk about that
chicken ass she's got going.
That is a confused 18-year-old white girl.
Thank you.
That is what that is. She is confused.
With an abnormally long tongue.
And someone... Someone
weird ass.
As Jacob put it, weird ass.
Needs,
perfect.
Someone needs to get that girl some help. Okay?
Some churching.
So, yeah, you know what? Go to church. Fuck the club. Go to church.
Y'all need some church.
Yes. But anyway, no, I mean, seriously, like, sex and comics is one of those things, man. It's going to be there. There's nothing we can do about it. We can sit here and we can bitch about it and moan about it or praise it and laud it. But either way, I kind of look at it the same. You know, it's there. If you want to read it, read it. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. It's the same thing with the whole gay topic in comic books, you know, the lesbian, homosexual culture.
Or even with, like, violence. It's the same thing with
violence. Violence has always been in comic books. Comic books for a long time were more violent than what you saw on television.
Yeah.
And as Jacob put it,
there have
been less.
Yeah. Yeah, comic books when they first started were incredibly violent. The horror comics back in the day were ridiculously bloody, and that's why the comics code, was started, was because of some of the things that were shown in comic books. Now, the comics code is dead at this point.
Should we reinstate it?
No.
That's
no,
what,
because
that was
it's
my
a
next
it's
question.
A freedom of speech issue at that point. It's once again, it's like with, you know, they've tried to shut down the porn industry how many times? You know, they tried to shut down Hustler. They tried to shut down Playboy. They tried to shut down.
Well,
the
shoot, they
films.
Tried to shut down.
You can't shut down
Crossed?
That much money, though.
What?
Who does Crossed?
Avatar.
They
Avatar
tried
Press.
To shut down Avatar
well,
millions of times.
And you know, that's actually that's a good point right there with Avatar. Crossed is a perfect title for that book because they have crossed the line over and over and over and over and over again with what they publish in that book, and that is actually one of the few books that I feel. I wish that comic book stores had the adult section again. I really do, because I think there are certain books that do belong in the adult section, Sex Criminals being one of them. Sex, Caligula, Crossed,
Superman and
Miniature
Wonder
Jesus.
Woman.
even Saga at this point should probably be in the adults-only section.
Now, do you think that would hurt, though?
I don't think it would. No, I don't think so. I think that if you market right, if you market them right, they will sell. It doesn't matter what section of the comic book store it's in. You market it right, you get the word of mouth going, and you're fine. You know, and it's just it's one of those things. Does porno not having the rental stores anymore? And remember the old mom and pop rental stores had the adult section.
Yeah.
Right. Blockbuster never had an adult section. Blockbuster killed all the mom and pops except for those that had an extensive adult section. So wouldn't an adult section in a comic book store kill it? Fuck no. Fuck no. Because it didn't kill the moms and pops, you know? It didn't. It didn't kill them. And why? Because porn sells. Period. Porn sells probably better than any other entertainment industry for its budget. Because what's the budget on porn? Next to fucking nothing.
Oh, it's
next to nothing. I mean, they film at Sky Harbor Airport, for God's sake.
Like a grand?
Right? Like, I mean, honestly, I think...
A little more because
I got $3.
We probably paid more for Lepus than what they pay for most backroom casting
shoots.
You know, backroom casting is essentially a couch, a desk, a stupid girl, and three cameras. That's all you need for a backroom casting couch fucking porno. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry, a rental space. So it's less than what we paid
no,
for Lepus. It's less than what we would have paid for Lepus had we had to rent locations or couches.
Couches.
Like, seriously. So porn is one of those things, man. It's always going to be there. Comic books are always going to be a little bit sexy. They're always going to have the violence. They're always going to have the sex. And it's going to ramp up, and it'll come and go. Sometimes the really sexy books will sell really well. And then other times, you know, people will get burned out on it and be like, oh, I'm tired of masturbating.
I have carpal tunnel.
Right. I've chafed so much.
You know, I mean, there's only so many times you can crank it in the bathroom at work, you know? So you kind of got to stop everyone.
Please tell
me
you haven't been doing that.
Why the fuck would I crank it in the bathroom here? Have you seen these bathrooms?
Yes, I have.
I would never. I don't even like taking my pants off to poop in these bathrooms, let alone masturbate. No, I'm kidding. I actually love this store very much, but I would never masturbate here because I love this store
exactly.
so much. And that's fucking creepy, okay? I'm a comic book guy, but I'm not the comic book guy.
Guy.
Okay?
So do you want to actually wrap this up?
I can
Voice
wrap it
of
for
reason
us.
Number
right,
two?
So essentially, guys, you know, like we said, sex in comics is always going to be there. I ranted and raved a little bit there, and I do apologize for that.
You kidding
didn't
me?
You, though.
But you know what? Actually, here's what we're going to do. Since I'm leading us out, I'm just going to mute these two chuckleheads. And don't forget, guys, check us out on abnormalentertainment.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook. We're the Atomic Fallout Society. Make sure you check out our Twitter page at Atomic Fallout. Is society on the end of that?
No, it's not Twitter, it's Facebook.
Facebook is Atomic Fallout?
Yes.
There's no society on that one?
No.
Okay, what? Are you sure? Yeah, no, Twitter's just at Atomic Fallout.
At
Atomic Fallout, it's a Twitter page. Anyway, you know, make sure you click on our sponsors. We like money. Yeah, we like money. But anyway, guys.
Money's good.
On behalf, of course, of David Sabal.
Yes.
The instigator and possibly the new voice of reason. It's still up for grabs.
It's still up for grabs.
And Christopher Lily Lalagan.
Yay!
The little yellow engine.
Nozzle?
Could. Nozzle.
That's not sticking, is it?
At least for two episodes.
Yeah.
Shit.
At least for two episodes.
You have to upgrade, dude.
And
it's like leveling up.
Obviously, guys, we miss Tony, but not enough to ask him back. This has been episode 102. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
It's been fun.
Bye.
Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. Very twisted tale, very twisted tale. Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. It's a very twisted tale, very twisted tale.
Head to abnormalentertainment.com for all of our podcasts and blogs. Go to cinemaheadcheese.com for our movie reviews and news. Don't forget our YouTube channels, Abnormal Podcast and Cinema Head Cheese. Get us on Twitter, at Abnormal Podcast, and find all of our shows and Abnormal Entertainment on Facebook. New content 7 days a week from Abnormal Entertainment.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.